In addition to having starred in 14 cooking series on public television, Jacques Pepin is a contributing editor to Food and Wine magazine. He's won many honors, including a lifetime achievement from the James Beard Foundation and the Legion of Honor, France's highest distinction. Mr. Pepin has written 29 cookbooks, including the one that brings him back to our show now, Poulet and Legume, my favorite chicken and vegetable recipes, and I'm very pleased to welcome him back. Hi.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
The last time you were here in 2015, you were working on your last TV show, Heart and Soul.
Right.
Do you miss being on TV?
Well, you know, the show, usually we did it every 3 years, and that's why for the last 30 years I've been doing those series with KQED mostly. So we are not planning to do another series now, but I'm still planning to do, I mean, I just finished another book, which I did for my granddaughter, called Cooking Lessons for My Grandfather, you know, with my granddaughter Shori, who is 12 years old. So we have done a few shows on those, show of like 7, 8, 10 minutes, and we will be shooting another 20 or 30 of those in spring, but that won't be for PBS. It would be probably for the internet or whatever.
Didn't you have a stroke in 2015?
2 years ago, right?
You look fine. How's your health?
It lasted 48 hours, so I was very, very lucky. I was at home with two friends, both of them doctor. So I started feeling the thing they call, and half an hour later, I was at Yale, and some type of miracle drug that they gave me. The day after, I was practically the same. So, you know, I was only, in fact, there for one night. So,
has it affected the way you cook or you eat?
No, I think maybe I eat more now. I know that life is short.
And eating is one of the great pleasures of life.
Yes.
You mentioned teaching. And this is a family thing. You grew up in a family of people who cooked.
Yes.
Seven of your female relatives ran restaurants?
Actually, I can count 12 restaurants which were owned by female in my family.
And yes. Isn't that a rarity in France?
I always thought that
the men were in the kitchen and the women were in the front of the house Italy, it's the women are in the kitchen and the men are in the front of the house.
No, that's a fallacy, you know. What happened is that in France, we have that thing called the Michelin Guide, which kind of misinterpret French cooking in some way, because the Michelin 1, 2, 3 star are extraordinary restaurants. But there is only 600 restaurants in the Michelin Guide. There is like 20, 22, whatever, 3 star, like 82 star, the rest 1 star. But there is 148,000 restaurants in France, you know, and most of those, like my mother, aunt, and all that, owned by woman, run by woman. But somehow, because of Nouvelle Cuisine, the 70s, and great French chef coming to America, Americans look at French cooking usually within the context of those Michelin star restaurants. And that happened to me many times. You know, I teach at Boston University for 33 years. So we used to take group to France. And taking group to France, we would go to bistro, small farm, and people say, wow, it's like Italian cooking, or it's like really country. This is the way it is in France as well, you know. So,
is teaching an apprentice in a restaurant kitchen, or your daughter, your granddaughter, or teaching in a classroom much different from teaching cooking on a TV show?
Not really.
And if you're writing a cookbook, is that another form of teaching cooking?
It is, yes, absolutely. But, I mean, for me, I'm very pragmatic. I'm very maybe Cartesian in that sense. So, you know, there is already the element of cooking, of teaching, you know, in my cooking, which is very important. And I think it was with Julia, too. When I was cooking with Julia, we had
fun.
Julia Child. But she always said at the end, what did we teach today? You know, so there is always that element, which I think you find certainly in The Cook on PBS. I mean, you'll find that with Ming Tsai, Rick Bellis, or Lydia Bastianich, you know, as well as I do, which is a bit different than the reality show of cooking. You know?
I remember asking you and Julia if someone took a lot of liberties with a classic French recipe, which one of you would be more upset? And you both agree that Julia would be more upset. And you're the French guy who grew up in French cooking tradition.
Yes, yeah, that's an interesting way of putting it, because for most Americans, I am considered like the quintessential French chef. Then you open my book and there is a black bean soup with banana cilantro on top. My wife being born in New York, but Puerto Rican mother and so forth. And then next to it, you may have a sushi. And then you'll have, a New England lobster roll. And you have a Southern fried chicken. And so in a sense, I would consider myself the quintessential American chef. You know, after over 50 years that I've been here, being exposed to all of those different, ethnic food, so-called, I do some French cooking, but I never really, very importantly for me to stay French, I never really thought of it in that.
Although this book has a title that's French, Poulet.
That's it.
And Legume. I almost want to say Poulet et Legume. Poulet being
chicken. Yeah.
Chicken. And Legume meaning all vegetables in French.
That's it, yes.
Now, I don't know how it just came to represent a certain kind of vegetable in
America.
English.
The leguminous are what we call les farineux, in France, that flour, like beans, rice, and that type of thing will be leguminous in English, but in French, legume would be strictly the vegetable.
But the title would suggest that this is a French-oriented cookbook.
Probably. I wasn't the only one choosing the title. My editor wanted that title. I said, it's fine. I mean, I said I am. I never try not to be French. I never try to be French, really, but never try not to be French either.
You have that accent. You have no choice.
Thinking this term. Yeah, I have been told that I have an accent, so I don't know. It's probably Connecticut drawl, right?
But you probably have become the most American influenced of all of the French chefs who have come over here. After all, you had a choice between, after you had worked in as General de Gaulle's chef, you had an opportunity to work in the Kennedy White House as the cook there. Instead, you chose to go to work for Howard Johnson.
That's it, yes. Well, Howard Johnson was very important in my life. I spent 10 years there and learning new words like specific gravity or coliform or bacteria. As a chef, I didn't know any of this. And certainly, I opened the World Trade Center with Joe Baum. At some point, I was consultant for the Russian Tea Room in the 80s. I opened a restaurant on Fifth Avenue called La Potagerie, early 70s. All of those involved production, which I would never have been able to do if I hadn't had the training of Howard Johnson. So it was a very important time in my life.
But it also suggests that you have more of a sense of the business side of the food world, because you went to work for this big corporation that thought very much in terms of having the broadest appeal. And here we have this cookbook that is published by Sur la Table, which is not a publishing house.
It is actually published by Houghton and Mifflin.
Oh. But under the Sur la Table imprint?
Sur la Table have an exclusive for it for a while. I don't really remember exactly how it worked. But it's only at Sur la Table now, yes.
And some of the products at Sur la Table have been developed with you, by you?
Yes, but that's the whole point, actually. I wasn't going to do a book, and it was Carrie Backman, I think, which is the PR lady that I'm working with, who suggested, you got to do a little book with that. I never did. I do a lot of drawing, for years. So I had drawing of those chicken, too, and somehow they saw it, and they made an apron with my drawing of chicken, and they loved it. And they said, can we do other product with that? Can we do plate, mug, tablecloth? I said, absolutely. So it's the first time, actually, that I use my drawing of vegetable and chicken to do this. And at some point, the book wasn't even in part of it. And at the end, they said, maybe we should have a little book with that. And that the book came as an afterthought. Actually, they designed it very well. It's very pretty. It's very well done.
And this is not the first book that you've done illustrations for.
No, usually all of my other book, at least the last 10 or 12 book, I have had some illustrations, some of my painting in it, some illustration, yes.
You told me in previous conversations we've had about how you took a few art classes when you were at Columbia, but
yes.
When did you begin to paint seriously, take the art side seriously?
Well, I don't know whether I never painted, quote, seriously, but...
Well, you're good, so
yeah,
you know that...
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Everything is relative, but certainly very early when I came to America... The whole bunch of us working at the Pavilion and all that, we rented a house in Woodstock, upstate New York, in the spring, and Hunter Mountain in the winter, in the same area, skiing in the winter. And in the summer, we started redoing all the pieces of, all furniture, type and panning and all that. And we all started panning a little bit. And it started there, So, yes, it's a long time ago.
Well, do you see some kind of relationship between making art and making food? Because presentation has become a very important part of food, at least in contemporary restaurant world.
You're absolutely right. And it's an interesting question because I see it totally separate. Both of them, cooking and panning satisfied my inner self in a different ways, but both of them are necessary in my life. But if anything, when I do cooking, I kind of reject the decoration. Not reject the decoration, but I like the food to be placed on the plate at the end. If it's attractive, I think the food is attractive by itself, but I don't spend time fussing with the food, touching it and all that. I don't like this. So, yes, so I think there is something inherent. Like, I don't know, if you look at Indian cooking, certainly, or Chinese cooking, the food is placed on the plate. There is not much in terms of decoration. More in French cooking, but certainly not much in my cooking. I think that the food speaks by itself.
I think it was Arthur Schwartz who said, in the old days, you had a piece of chicken on one side of the plate and the mashed potatoes on the other side of the plate, mm-hmm. and then along came the new look, and you have a circle of mashed potatoes with a piece of chicken right on top.
You're right.
It's still the same dish.
Yes, exactly. I remember what I said. I told you I was going to France. My mother died in 2014, not that long ago. She was just short of 100. But maybe 10 years, 5, 6 years before that, I was in France, and I took her out to a restaurant. It was a one-star restaurant, which I should have thought of it, and very nice, beautiful food. And she said, well, what's on the menu? I read the menu, and we had rabbit. So she said, oh, I haven't had rabbit. I want rabbit. So, of course, it was already a one-star restaurant, so they bone out the back of the rabbit. They make a cylinder out of it. They cut it into little chunks and put around what I call a punctuation cooking with little bottle where you have a drop, a comma, a question mark, all of that. And they brought that to my mother. And my mother said, no, I ordered the rabbit. I said, Mom, this is a rabbit. She said, that's not rabbit. She wanted rabbit, with the bone and tooth to chew on it. But, yeah.
Now, what do you think determines whether a restaurant gets one Michelin star, two Michelin stars, and three Michelin stars?
Well,
is it the cost of the meal?
Well, no, certainly the quality of the ingredient. Certainly consistency, day after day, because they're going to go back several times. But certainly when I go to France, I tend to go to country restaurants, the type of food that we don't really have much here in terms of French food. And that's usually, very often done by women.
And we have included a couple of recipes from the book on our show page.
Good.
At wmyc.org/Lopate, grilled chicken tenders with chimichurri?
Yes, chimichurri sauce, yes.
And also fricassee of Brussels sprouts with bacon.
Right.
Now, those are kind of American dishes, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. That's what I told you before. You open my book, you will see a sushi, and you will see, I don't know how many recipes of chicken there is in there, or vegetable, like about 30 or 50 of each or whatever. But yes, you will find probably more American type or... from all over the world.
And how do you keep on coming up with recipes? Are these recipes you've done in previous books?
Yes, most of them.
Because
yes, right.
I wonder when you're doing chicken and vegetables, there are a lot of variations, but after a while, you pretty
Not
much
really.
Run
I mean,
out yeah, of things.
Probably you prob- probably could do a book on chicken with 10,000 recipes. If you look at Chinese, if you look at Korean, Indian, Italian, French, and all that, it's hundreds and hundreds of recipes, you know. So it's like peeling an onion. The more you peel, the more you have layers and layers.
Didn't you grow up cooking with your brothers, Roland and Bichon?
Right.
Did they stay in the food world?
No. My younger brother, Bichon, yes, kind of always wanted what I did. My older brother was an engineer. Both of them are deceased, unfortunately.
Mm. But they decided pretty much to get out of the family business.
Yes, yes. My mother was in this, and at that time, you know, certainly 1949, when I went into apprenticeship, it was a relatively easy choice. There was no television. There was no, you know, I didn't know I could become a great surgeon in half an hour looking at a show on television. So, you know, my father was a cabinet maker. My mother was a cook in the kitchen. So it was one or the other. So we had kind of blinders. It was easy to choose.
So you have those same skills. Deboning a chicken is like being a surgeon?
Sort of, yes, yes.
Do you enjoy, we talked about the art, do you enjoy the writing part, the opening
I do.
Paragraph that
I
describes
do.
The recipe?
Actually, yes, and when I did a book called The Apprentice, which is a cook's memoir that I did a number of years ago, which is really my first and only experience in prose, and probably the last one, but I do write all my book and introduction too. I do enjoy that, yes.
Jacques Pepin's latest book is Poulet and Légumes, My Favorite Chicken and Vegetable Recipes. It is published in the Sur la Table imprint of Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. And it has brought Jacques Pepin, one of my favorite people in the world, back to our show today.
Thank
it's
you.
Always a pleasure having you here.
It's great to be with you. Thank you so much.